Hi, everyone, and welcome to Bourbon A. It's another edition of Bears All Access. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman, and we're pleased to be joined by one of the leaders on the Bears defense, linebacker Jarrell Freeman. And before we get to all the football stuff, because there's plenty of time to talk about football, but I don't know, Tom, if you've heard, but he's now a life-saving linebacker. He's not just some ordinary linebacker. He's a life-saving linebacker. This is a big deal, and we'll explain in a second. But, you know, when you are growing up, you probably have goals that you establish for life, career highlights that you want. You know, I'm sure graduating from college was one of them. Mm. Making the National Football League was a big deal coming from a small school. Sustaining a long NFL career, probably winning a Super Bowl, I'm sure is one of your goals. Of course. But we have to have life in perspective here. So where do you rank saving someone's life in your career highlight chart?
It definitely wasn't one of my goals because I wasn't expecting to do it. You know, I didn't plan on being a doctor or nurse or anything like that. But, I mean, I guess it has to be at the top, you know?
Right.
But,
I mean, it has to be bigger than anything you've ever done on a football field.
But I don't think you have that same excitement once it happens. You're like, oh, that just happened. You know what I mean? So it's just, I don't know. I think it's something that anybody else would have done. They would be in the same situation.
You know? Can you reenact the instant that you said, I got to do something? Because I know, a lot of times you're faced with those instances. I got to react. And just to tell us a little bit about that.
It was the weekend before training camp started, right?
We checked in Wednesday, and I was coming down to Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah. So you're at the airport in Austin, Texas, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Take it from there.
Okay, I'll just tell the whole story. Is that
right.
What y'all want?
Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't really heard it, so I would like to hear the reenactment.
Oh, okay. there's a couple of different versions. There's like a clean version where I tell all the guys and all the I went to the airport, got dropped off, got checked in through security or whatever. And like, you know how you get the text message once you check in, like, oh, your flight's delayed, flight's on time.
Right.
Text message, flight was delayed. I was like, oh, man, well, I was hungry at the time. So, hey, you know, it was a nice barbecue spot in the airport. You would think barbecue spot in the airport is not really good, but it's Texas, so don't worry
it's
about
Austin.
It.
It's Austin. I mean, that's it's the capital of barbecue.
Right. So get in line, get my food, sit down. Guy sits down a couple seats down from me. And while I'm eating, you know, I'm finishing up my food, and he like stands up abruptly, and he just starts. He ran around the table, and everybody was like looking at him, like what is going on? Because they're like, you know how on edge everybody is at the airport,
right.
And people grabbing their things, like what's wrong with this guy? But he starts motioning to his mouth, motioning to his throat, and everything. And a lady asked him, "Are you choking?" And he was like, he nodded his head, yes. She runs around, tries to grab him and give him the Heimlich. But she's like 100 pounds. She's not really that big, so she wasn't very effective. So as I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh, man. And I see it's not working. So I run over there and grab the guy and hit him with the Heimlich like 2 times. So by this time, I guess something came out, but not all of it, because he was able to speak when he was like, it's not all the way out. So I hit him with it 2 more times, and I guess it came out, because each time I hit him with it, like he was, vomit was coming out. I got it all on my arm and everything. But yeah, it was coming out every time. So yeah, it came out, and the guy was just like, he had his head on his head or hand on his hip, and he was like, oh my God, you just saved my life.
So,
man.
But were
crazy.
You familiar with the technique of the Heimlich, or was it just something because throughout the course of life you see examples of it either in a TV show or just some of the diagrams they have in restaurants?
My mom's a nurse.
Okay.
So, you know, you get all the, and I'm with me and my big brother, we were together all the time. So, of course, you get taught, hey, this is how you do things. So, of course, I know CPR too. And
very good.
But I'm not certified by any means with any of these. But, you know, you just develop the skills, understand, know how to do them, because my mom's a nurse. So she taught us, and yeah, it stuck with me from a kid, I guess.
Good for you.
You know, both of my parents were in the Army. When I was a kid, about 7 or 8 years old, I was eating a hot dog. I started choking on one of the pieces.
Word.
And so, you know, you can't speak when this is happening.
Right.
And you start to panic because you can't breathe. Your eyes start to tear.
Right.
So I start jumping up and down. And my dad's like, stop playing around. Sit back down and finish your food. my mom sees what's going on. So she comes over and she administers the Heimlich, probably not as strong. strongly as you did for this poor individual, but he's alive, so that's all that matters. But I mean, it is such a relief when it, because it hurts. I mean, there's a significant pain that you get in your stomach rib area,
okay.
And then but then it comes out and you vomit a little bit. It's just a natural thing. But that relief when you're able to finally breathe again and talk, it's a huge thing. Were there a lot of witnesses to this?
Oh, it was witnesses, but I'm sure from different people's vantage points, it looked like something different. Like, I'm sure the immediate people that were around it, knowing that he was choking, saw what I was doing to him. They saw it as one thing, but I'm sure the people that were looking from it from afar were like, man, this guy is assaulting the hell out of this guy right now. What is going on right now? Well, yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what they were thinking.
And did you get all dirt? I mean, it must have been a very uncomfortable process.
The vomit got on me, but I mean, it's...
I hope you're not a germaphobe. I mean,
not really. But I mean, I definitely went to the restroom and got cleaned up and everything. Yeah.
So there's this picture that you posted and he posted on social media, right?
Right.
Who's there to photograph this incident? I mean, did he know who you were?
Everybody with a cell
phone. No, but think of it. I mean, because to me, you'd be a hero just for saving my life. It doesn't matter that you play in the NFL. Did he have any idea who you were?
No idea, because of course I don't have any Bears things or stuff on. And if you don't see me without a helmet, you wouldn't really. I'm not a real noticeable guy there, and you know, it's not big.
Yeah, you're incognito.
So I mean, he had came from the bathroom, cleaned it up, and I came from there too. He actually sat back down, and continued to eat. Went back to eating.
No
his
way.
Brisket. Absolutely. So he.
I mean, that's how good the brisket is down in Austin.
At the airport.
He probably walked away going, man, I bet you that guy works out. I wonder how much he could bench.
Did you crush a rib? I mean, you must have. Because
no, I didn't. He said it was like he was sore, but I was like, yeah.
How big was this guy?
He was actually about your size.
Oh, man, he must. Because honestly, I would have been on IR for the rest of the year if you did that to me. I'm just guessing. I mean, because I've seen you tackle. So, yeah. I mean, it's
you
like.
You got to invent a tackle called the Heimlich or something. I hit you so hard.
So who took the picture?
We were actually talking back and forth, and he took a picture, which he put on his social media. And I was like, hey, can I take a picture? He was like, hey, yeah, absolutely. I don't know if he realized how much buzz it was, because they were calling his job, calling his family and everything, trying to get in touch with him. He's like trying to be real low key, and I was like, "Are you sure you want to put this on the internet?" And
because then he found out who you were at that point.
He found out, because we were talking back and forth, you know, kind of where you're going. When he got back to eating the brisket, and we kind of chopped it up a little bit, and you know, had a little conversation. But yeah, he was.
Did you ever get to eat?
I finished my meal.
You did?
No question.
Okay. That's a heck of a reward for saving a life. I mean, man, that's a crazy experience. Now, how soon after that are you texting everyone that you know, like, you're never going to believe what I just did?
On the way to my flight. Like, I got done eating, threw my stuff away. I saw him run to his. I think what was happening, he was on the phone, not paying attention, trying to scarf his food down to make the flight, right?
Right.
Which everybody does. I do that all the time, right? So... Yeah, and I saw him go there. But on my way to my flight, I have a group chat with like me, my brother, my mom, and dad.
Yeah.
And that's the first people I text. And my mom was like, what?
I knew. How happy was your mom that you learned from her how to do it?
She was like so proud of me. And then when the stories and everybody comes out, I'm sure she went to the hospital and everybody was, you know, praising her. Good job. So, yeah, I mean, she was definitely a proud mom at that moment.
It had to be a high adrenaline moment, though. You know, for the other factors outside, you play professional sports. You come out there, you're greeted by a crowd of 60, 70,000 people. But the adrenaline, just from that experience, it had to be a different emotion, a different feeling. Feeling than your football emotions.
I mean, the crazy thing is, it's like, you know how you got on the field. You have a job to do. Okay, this guy goes this way. Okay, I got to block him. This was like, okay, the guy's choking. Somebody needs to help
him. I got to save him.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty simple. Like instincts. 1 + 1. Yeah. It was like instinctive. Okay, yeah, I'm going to go save this guy. I would hope anybody else, for humanity's sake, would go do the same thing.
See, I read a quote from you where you said that, you know, anybody would have done what I did. But people tried and they couldn't. Like that woman was not able to have the success. So if you're not there, this guy's not around to hear the show. I mean, it would have been. I mean, it really is an amazing thing. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to know what's been the craziest reaction to this story now that it's gone viral. We'll come back, and then we'll get to the football stuff. And also, Jarrell spent some time in Canada this summer, as he does every single year. We'll explain why. It gets back to football. You'll love it. We're talking football with Jarrell Freeman here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on here from Bourbon A on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Zaidman. We're breaking it down with Jarrell Freeman, the Bears' life-saving linebacker. If you missed our first segment, the reason he's a life-saving linebacker, right before camp, he's in an airport in Texas. Someone starts choking on a piece of brisket. Thankfully, Jarrell was there. Heimlich maneuver. Guy lives. Thing goes viral once it gets put on social media. What's been the wildest reaction to what you did since it happened?
I mean, I don't think I've had too many wild reactions. It's more like everybody, thank you. I'm sure his wife hit me up, mother hit me up, mother-in-law. Everybody's hit me up thanking me, being appreciative. It was more the media. Some kind, I don't know who has my number, but some kind of way everybody had it that day. So as soon as I landed, I have like 10 voicemails. I'd calling people back, text messages. It was crazy. People wanted me to tell the story, of course, do FaceTime, everybody.
Well, before social media, it's a story between you and the guy choking and a couple people in the restaurant.
Right.
Then because there's so many examples of it that are witnessed, that are social media out there and the different pictures and everything.
Right.
It is a story because I've seen it in so many different avenues of publications, both print and TV and everything. It's amazing how much tread that story picks up.
Yeah, I'm sitting there on the phone talking to Good Morning America and TMZ. I'm like, what do y'all want to talk to me for? What?
But it is good. I mean, think about it. There are probably a lot of people who don't know the fundamentals of how to perform the Heimlich,
right.
And now maybe they do because this story got the legs that it did.
Right. So now the American Red Cross is, you know, I go talk to them. They want me to do some stuff with them. It's bringing awareness to, you never know when you're going to have a skill or learn a skill to help save someone. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
But, you know, you make 100-plus tackles a year on the football field, and the professional level, they don't ask you to come and demonstrate how to make a proper tackle on any of these shows.
Right.
They want you to show how to do the Heimlich. Right. But it is a major influence of what you can have on some of the people that don't know how to do it, some of the kids that pay attention to you because you are an NFL player. Mm. And it is important. And like you talk about your mom being a nurse, I'm sure every one of her coworkers were so proud that they're in the medical field because – her son's a lifesaver.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess it's good. They were trying to get my mom on TV and everything. Mom was not having it. She was like, "Boy, if you don't tell these people, leave me alone." But yeah, she was definitely a proud mom, though.
What was the reaction once you joined your teammates here in Bourbon A? See, I see a smile on your face because you know the reaction's a little different than what we're giving you here.
Yes, very. It was very different. Everybody come sit beside me while at the lunch table. You know what I mean? Everybody's giving me a hard time, man. It's all out of love, right? But they give me a hard time because, yeah, it's something that happened. Everybody knows about it. But, yeah, football players, they'll find a way to give you a hard time about anything.
And that's what makes it special, though, too.
Oh, yeah, everybody.
And I bring that up because there's a noticeable difference. I was talking to Charles Leno about this because he won a lot of games in college. Mm-hmm. And at the NFL level, that hasn't happened so far here. But he said it's different this year. And I said, why? He goes, because look at the way the players work. If you could see the work and the camaraderie that's around this team this year, it's different than it's been in the past. Do you sense that after being here last year?
I feel it's different from last year to this year. I think we had a lot of good pieces, and even in training camp, it was just a dog fight every day. You know, it was fighting. I know we did the family fest. It was a big thing. We were fighting. It was a big brawl there. You know what I mean? But I think this year everybody's coming together, understanding and knowing, like, we gotta work together, man. So it's a little more calm, but the feeling is, you know, we have a lot of pieces coming together, and we're very optimistic.
Can you play faster because you know what Akeem Hicks can lend to you? You know what the inside linebacker position can help you do? You know what Eddie Goldman's capable of? You know the players around you because you're more familiar with their style of play. Mm-hmm. Does Jarrell Freeman play faster?
I think so, especially from a safety linebacker to linebacker. You know, the things up front, they're going to do what they do. Even if they do something wrong, they like demand things, demand double teams, so I'm still able to flow off of them. So it's just knowing the defense is one thing, but then knowing the guys that are actually executing it is another. So once you kind of feel and see what those guys are going to do, it's a lot easier to go play fast.
Well, kind of my next question is, you see the guys that all play in front of you, but then you have a guy with experience behind you in Quinton Demps. Mm-hmm. Does linebacker safety talk because maybe he sees something differently up front? Is it such two different occupations football-wise that you don't really talk about much going on between your two jobs?
Oh, we talk a lot, especially and it's good having a vet back there he's seen everything.
Yeah,
he's been in many defenses, knows understand offenses, and he's seen it all. And if you've seen him, he plays like a linebacker a lot of times. You know what I mean? So our communication is really simple because we know and understand, okay, this is the defense. Okay, this is what might hurt us, worst case scenario, this. And it's easy. It's just like with Danny and now with the young guy Quick in there. I mean, I've had a lot of plays with him. So, you know, it's that nonverbal knowing and understanding. It's just it's good to have vets around you, even with Prince coming in there, understanding stems and understanding route combinations and knowing things, okay, I might be – beat right here, but I know what my help is. It's just a lot of things where having a guy that's seen a lot helps because they know, okay, I know where this guy's going to be, so I can take a shot here. I can go take the shot to go get a pick, or, you know, it's just different thing. Taking chances is a lot easier because you know you got a guy that knows what he's doing.
A lot of conversation going on between you. Talk about Prince Mukamara and Quinton Demps and yourself and all the guys that have the different experiences. There is a lot of chatter on the field where last year was maybe helping guys learn the defense. Now it is like what you talk about, how to improve the defense.
Right. I mean, because even last year I didn't know the defense.
Right.
Because we're able to do things. We're able to move forward a lot of things because now I know and understand the defense a lot more because I was still green. I was very green. I came from a system that was a lot different than this system. So it's better for me knowing and understanding as a linebacker, as that quarterback of the defense, able to move guys around and know and understand things where I can, you know, make calls. So it's a lot better.
Zach and Tom visiting with Bears linebacker Jarrell Freeman here on Bears All Access. It's interesting you say that because Danny Trevathan said the same thing. You know, he was a very important member of that Super Bowl championship team in Denver, and he was talking earlier in camp about how it took him a little bit of time to understand the defense. And with you two, you're talking about veteran play. Can you make it simple for us to understand what you needed to learn within the framework of this defense that you know now that can help make you guys better?
I mean, it's just system to system. That's why, I can understand a quarterback just has a different offensive coordinator every year. Like, you're not going to get the same production of a quarterback like a Tom Brady or A-Rod, you know, that's been in the same system and knows and understands he can dictate everything. Being in a system for a year is huge because – when you get that system for the first time, everybody does fire zones and, you know, quarter halves and all that. But playing them different, seeing things different, because we played them a totally different – played this coverage, the same coverage somewhere else, but they played it totally different, okay, matching and everything. It's different. And then once you get guys that's played in different places together, they might be good, but they're not good together yet. So once you get gel together and – knowing, understanding how Vic wants the thing to work, and then we start working together at that same common goal, and we're going to be good.
We got to take a time out here, but when we come back, I want to continue on this conversation because someone asked you early in camp, you know, do you guys think you'll have more interceptions this year? And you started to explain it from a football standpoint about how it's not just on one guy to get that interception. I think a lot of what you just said leads into being able to take the ball away. We'll discuss next with Jarrell Freeman, the Bears linebacker here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Don't get lost in the 7-Up Chicago Bears training camp crowd hoping for a chance at an autograph. Visit the Goodwill store and donation center in Bourbonnais and pick up a Goodwill VIP autograph zone pass. Hi, everyone. It's Bears All Access from Bourbonnais alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. We are visiting with Bears linebacker Jarrell Freeman, and we're breaking down the nuts and bolts of the Bears defense and really what's going to be different this year. And part of it is a better understanding from everybody in another year within the framework of this system, some of the new guys you brought in, and takeaways, a major issue last year. It's been a major point of emphasis this year. And I think some of the communication issues that you guys have been talking about, it's going to help lead to taking the ball away. It just has to naturally.
Yeah, naturally. I mean, we were at the one of the bottom teams in the league as far as turnovers. Having guys injured, run in and out, you know what I mean? It takes a toll on that. I mean, everybody strips the ball, you know, trying to get the strip sack and everything. But interceptions, a lot of them happen because the guys are where they're supposed to be. Guys know and understand, okay, I can, like I said before, take a chance here. I know I have this guy over the top of me protecting me, so why not just go ahead and take this shot? So, yeah.
It's about trusting that person's going to be there, because if you don't trust that person's going to be there, you can't take that – can't make that instinctive move for the ball at that point.
Right. I mean, and then knowing where your help is, knowing if the back blocks, you can do this or that. I mean, it's being able, knowing the system enough to where you don't just, okay, I got my job done. I did what I was supposed to do. Now you can actually help out and slough off, knowing how the coverage is rolled up, or, you know, where your help is, how high is it, how low is it. You know what I mean? It's just knowing that and understanding that just helps you get those turnovers.
You know, a couple days ago, Willie Young was speaking to the media, and he said one of the things he's doing is he's evaluating the first 2 seconds of the play to see what position he's in, if he can beat the blocker, or depending upon his responsibility. So say we have Jarrell Freeman, we are in a room watching tape, and you think 1001, 1002, and then we stop the tape. Do you think you know enough about the defense where you could see if it's going to be successful, or or you're in the right position, or you could change your position within that first 2 seconds? Is there any analogy between an outside linebacker like Willie Young and an inside linebacker like Jarrell Freeman according to the defense and the scheme and the personnel and everything you're facing?
It depends on the play.
According to the play and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, Willie is probably is – things happen a lot quicker on that D-line. You could take one wrong step, get hooked, and the whole defense is messed up.
Right.
You know what I mean? So as a linebacker, I might be able to take one false step, but I have enough speed and athleticism to make up for that, you know, but you don't want to really take any false steps. So it's just, you want to win those first couple seconds to make everything a lot easier for everybody. Because, like I said, you get somebody going vertical, I can, you know, no free access, give them a little nudge, help the safety out, you know what I mean? And just be successful within those first couple of seconds. And then, yeah, I mean.
Right, you know, because I was thinking as an offensive lineman with the first 2 seconds of a play. Mm-hmm. Because if you see the body positioning of an offensive lineman, you're going to tell if he's going to be successful or he's going to be out of position, the defensive player is going to win.
Right.
It'd be similar if I was a guard and I was coming off the ball to block you and you got into a position to win the block against me. I was just curious if a linebacker off the ball could tell as much about his play and success of the play within that first 2 seconds as what I was listening to Willie Young talk about with the press.
Oh, no question. Because, I mean, depending on as far as coverage, your leverage, your steps, if you're in a hurry, you could be covering a guy and he has a drop on you already, and you can kind of tell within those first 2 seconds, okay, am I in recovery mode, or am I playing offense, or am I playing defense right now? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's definitely, and as far as you like blocks, it's like you said, if I'm not using my nose, if I stack him sometimes, if we got a light box, instead of getting over that guard to help make that guard come to the second level, be able to wobble back, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Just knowing and understanding those little things, it definitely helps for those first couple seconds.
What's the communication like with Danny Trevathan? He told us that he doesn't even have to talk to you on the field. He can just give you like a little nod, a little look, and you guys are where you need to be. Is that true?
That's it. And, I mean, the good thing is we both know how to play both positions. So now, last year I couldn't. Last year we were flipping, having to flip back and forth because we were trying to get everything down. Now we're able to, okay, we can both play both positions, and nobody can really get a bead on us, and I don't have to tell him, hey, you have this in this coverage because he's playing a different position than not. You know, it's real.
Well, in camp right now, you're playing a little bit more with Nick Kukowski. Do you have to verbally communicate with him a little bit more to and until you guys get to know each other as well and the experiences that you and Danny Trevathan have been through in your career?
I mean, I wouldn't say that. Maybe like be alert for something, or maybe look for something. But as far as quick as his has been, he's been a real sponge, I guess you would say. When me and Danny talking to him, letting him know things, and him talking to coach, he has a real good, I guess, learning curve. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's been able to digest a lot of stuff, and he's been thrown in the fire, and he's been from week to week, he's been doing better and better every week. So. It's definitely not mental for him. It's not really physical for him either. He just has to go out there and perform. But yeah, it's that communication is not well off to where it was with Danny.
As someone who does this for a living, can you put into words how remarkable it is that, I mean, the injury that Danny Trevathan went through last year, mm-hmm. you're not supposed to be on the football field right now. Right? I mean, it's unbelievable to me.
I mean, that's Danny, and then that's modern science. Right. So, I mean, back in the day, back in 85, if something happened, I'm sure it was it's a little different than when it happened now.
Adrian Peterson changed the standard of that. Right. I think for a lot of different players in the NFL, both sides of the football.
And being able to just bounce back, come back and just be effective. And, I mean, you see it through drills. I'm like, okay, Danny's all right. I see. Right. He might be a little back. So, yeah, it's going to be good to have him back on the field.
He believes that defensively you guys can be special. Not just the two of you, but the entire group.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that belief come from? Because you know what gets said outside of here.
Right.
What can you say about what you see on a daily basis to get people excited about the things that Danny was talking about?
I think we've progressed from, like I said before, doing your job and, okay, maybe, you know, make this adjustment, that adjustment to – this all about making the little things the big things. And I think we've been really good at making those little things big things as far as the front seven for sure. And now that we got the DBs out there rocking, even we got the little young guy, Eddie, back there, he's the draft pick, he's starting to rock it too. So, you know, it's good now we're making those little things the big things. And, yeah, we're able to get a lot better.
What about Vic? Does he give you guys a little bit more because he's got a year experience with you guys? He knows how much mentally that you guys have been able to absorb in a year's time. And is Vic giving you a little bit more freedom? I guess I don't know if freedom's the right word, but is he expanding what you guys can do defensively because you have experience with him?
I think I can speak for me.
Right.
Okay. You can probably ask Vic the same questions. I'm way from where I was here last year.
Right.
I'm way ahead of where I was mentally wise, as far as knowing, understanding the defense. So I'm sure he had to kind of bring us along slowly, but now we're able to look forward. You know what I mean? As far as opponents, okay, we might get this and this and this, and we go, you know, go lab a little bit, you know, go do some film study, and he's able to show us things. And but before, I'm sure last year, he was like, we got to get this down. This is a main defense, main style of play we want to play. And he's an old school guy, so he wants his stuff done right. There's no freelancing out there, right? So it's just we're ahead of where we were for last year.
Would a better way of describing it be he trusts you with more because he knows what you can do?
I think he trusts that we're going to do
what he tells you to do.
Right. Okay. To do, instead of him having to, you know, we got to reload something because we haven't run it right now. Bomb. Like I said, last year to this year, I was different by the time the training camp. But I mean, he kind of cut the stuff down. But now he can just throw anything at us. And a lot of guys, being the professionals that they are, know and understand a lot of different positions. So they know, okay, if somebody ever has a question, we can tell them on the field, okay, you got this, do this, 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 this. But the guys are knowledgeable. The guys are willing to get in there and put in the work and everything, and there's not a lot of that going around.
Your teammate on the outside, Leonard Floyd, the other day was saying that, you know, because Vic essentially is the outside linebackers coach, being in that room now, and he mentioned how it's just made him a smarter football player. What do you see out of that young guy? Hold it. We'll get your answer when we come back. Jarrell Freeman's thoughts on Leonard Floyd next on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tune in to Inside the Bears starring Anthony Spice Adams and Lauren Screedon every Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 in Chicago and Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 in Chicago. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Sabin. Jarrell Freeman, the Bears inside linebacker, is with us here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And we were talking about Leonard Floyd before the break and just talking to him and watching him physically. He's a bigger person than he was a year ago. And a much more confident person on the field than he was a year ago.
Yeah, he was. He's able to put a lot of things together. We can see it. Like you said, he's bigger. He's that first step is still quick. He's going to be a force for a long time. I've said it before. He's going to be a force, especially for a pass rusher.
Can you see those things? You know, because you're not. It's not a game. You're not going all out. Can you begin to see stuff like that even in these practices and training camp?
Yeah, I mean, but I saw it last year. So, you know, you see flashes and everything, but as the season went on, they put more responsibility on him, and he was up to the challenge. He was not the prima donna first rounder that already knew everything. No, he's in there studying, asking questions, taking advice, you know. And when you get out there on the field, you don't have to worry about him or any other outside linebackers for that matter. But him especially, okay, we give him a certain coverage or anything, he can go out there and cover like a linebacker can. So it's refreshing for a young guy to be able to do that, be open to anything, and just go out there and perform.
You know, just to kind of change the subject a little bit, because I don't know if you'll have any more opportunity to play against this person than you do in training camp. And you look at Tariq Cohen, because he's captured the audience's attention and a lot of excitement out there. Yeah. When you're practicing against a guy like that, does he challenge your fundamentals because he's built low to the ground, he can change direction, he's swift, he's kind of creative in space? How does that help you as a player, but how do you look at a player like Tree? Because he has been an interesting guy in training camp, and you may never play a game against him, but this is practice as you do.
He has a chance to do some big things, especially how they're using him now. I mean, it's exciting to see him with the ball in his hand. And they're going to give him opportunity to be successful. So, but yeah, he's one of those guys from a linebacker's perspective. Once he might get in the open field or motion out, or they throw him a pass, you better get up there on him, because if you give him open space, it is good night.
Well, you know, that kind of led me to it, because you have Jordan Howard. Mm-hmm. If Jordan Howard runs into you, I see him last year having a lot of yards after first contact.
Oh, yeah.
But then I see Tariq Cohen in practice, and guys kind of like a Barry Sanders type thing where they want to slow down and come under control.
Nuh-uh.
You can't do that.
You got to close that distance.
Right.
Think about it. This is an NFL player talking about Tariq Cohen. And that to me is the big test, because you watch, I'm sure you've seen his college tapes. And these are video game like moves that he's got, his spin moves, and then just the speed. People couldn't touch him.
Right.
But that's when he's playing at North Carolina A&T. When an NFL linebacker is saying that you got to watch out for what this guy can do, that says something.
Yeah, but I mean, you see the NFL now, as far as how they use running backs and smaller guys, slot receivers, and all that. It's a spread game. So you get a guy in an open field with talent. With a talent like he has, and he's gonna be successful.
Well, you know, I think that's the thing about talent is they researched the landscape of talent, whether you're Adam Shaheen out of Ashland College mm-hmm. or Tariq Cohen out of North Carolina A&T.
Or Jarrell Freeman from
Mary Harden Baylor.
Yeah, right, exactly. You're rooting for the small school guy.
Well, absolutely.
But, I mean, the talent is everywhere, and you see the size and the ability of Adam Shaheen, and you see the moves of Tariq Cohen. I just think that it's neat for us to be able to see it as Bears fans, but it's a little bit different when you have a guy that's kind of practicing against him on a daily basis, and mm-hmm. you see him make a move, and he keeps his feet when most guys that are above 6 feet would fall down, right. He's just turning the corner.
Right. I mean, that's what guys like that do. And you get him on punt return, you get him in the open field, and he's extremely quick, but then every once in a while he'll break and you're like, oh my God, this boy's fast. Right. You know? So, I mean, you got to be able to stay with him running wheels, doing one-on-ones and everything, running away from us. But yeah, he's a problem.
When you guys are practicing, do you know what the offense is going to run, or are they trying to? Because no. I mean, there's so many mismatches. Just the tight end size that the Bears have this year is very different than what you guys practiced against last year.
Yeah,
you know,
with
Shaheen, you have Zach Miller in there. You know, Deion Sims has brought something to the team that wasn't here last year with his physical ability and his ability to catch the football. It's got to be a little bit tougher from a defensive standpoint to kind of figure out what they're doing.
Yeah, from a defensive standpoint, we have every type of tight end that we're going to face. We got the big tight end to go get the ball, athletic guys that can hit the seam, crafty vets like Zach, but Zach can run anything right now. He just gets open. That's what Zach does. So it's good work for us, but, you know, we're able to play technique, you know, get them off their mark. I mean, that's what defensive players do. We're going to take on a challenge, you know. We just no free access, knock them off the seam and everything. I mean, it's just we're competitive just like they are.
How easy, you know, that was a good question by Zach, because you think you practice against the Chicago Bears for 4 or 5 weeks, and then you start playing preseason games. How quickly is it to forget about what you were practicing against and then just line up and play against a different opponent? You know, because there's not a lot of preparation time of the opponent early in the preseason. You start preparing more when you get towards the regular season.
I mean, you know how everybody's pretty vanilla when they're in the preseason, but different teams have different identities, you know. So, of course, you're going to kind of know and understand. They might flash something up to a couple of days before, let you know what kind of team this is, but nobody's really, like, game planning for the first couple of games in the preseason. So, just being out there and looking at your keys and knowing where you're supposed to go and having the young guys trying to get too wide-eyed out there once those lights come on. You can't be in the deer in the headlights. You just got to go perform. Those guys are – You just got to go out there and perform.
It's nice that you went from 90 degrees to 50 degrees, because at least a little bit, you know, that the practice was very fresh when it did cool down. It was a fresh, well-spirited practice, and I think the weather can help that, you know, sometimes.
no doubt. Definitely not in Texas. That's for sure.
I was going to say, after being in Texas, coming back up here, that can't be a big deal. No matter what the weather is.
Right. But this time of year. Yeah. But like I said before, I've been up in Canada playing for 3 years. So it's just not a – yeah, I've played in it all. So, yeah, wherever I'm at, it's
– When we come back, we're going to hit the Canadian stuff, because it's not just a different brand of football up there. There's some significant differences between north of the border and the United States that you probably didn't know about until you actually started living up there and playing football up there. So we'll discuss next with Jarrell Freeman here on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock Bears news, videos, photos, and training camp coverage straight from the Chicago Bears Network. Download the Chicago Bears official app presented by Verizon and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest Bears content direct to your device. Tom Thayer's here. I'm Zach Sabin. Jarrell Freeman, the Bears linebacker, is with us here on Bears All Access. For people that don't know his story, came from a small school in Texas, began his career in the CFL. So you lived there for how many years? How many years did you play in the CFL?
3 years up there.
So when you were playing, did you even think that the NFL could become a reality, or did you already train yourself that, you know, if I do this for the rest of my life, I can be, as a football player, I can be okay?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was more of that, but of course, me being from the U.S., your end game is all, you always want to go to the NFL. Like, that's what you want to do, but the CFL game and how they were kind of paying guys up there, I was like, you know, I could definitely make a living out of this, but, you know, it's just being a competitor and wanting to be the best at whatever you do, it just gave me the opportunity to come back to the NFL.
What skill did that increase in Canadian League football? What part of that game made you a better football player that transcends to the NFL?
It was a wide-open game, to say the least. You're out there, and especially with the crazy defense that I had playing with, sometimes I'd line up at safety, sometimes I'd line up at nickel, and, you know, sometimes I'd line up in pass rush from the edge. I mean, I led the team in sacks 2 years in a row from pass rushing on the edge. You know what I mean? So it was just
crazy. How many sacks was that?
I only had seven both years.
I was about to go upstairs. Vic, let this guy go after the passer. Come on.
Vic's going to tell you, hey, I'll call. You got to beat them back.
Von Miller from the Denver Broncos recently made this statement, said a 30-sack season would be possible by him. And I was going to say, if Jarrell had, you know, if he's 20-something, I'm going, all right.
No, but, yeah, he just had to do a lot of different things, and it actually honed my skills, and I was able to covered little slot receivers. Like, you got to stay in front of them, or you got to use your help and knowing how to play guys. So, you know, you got older guys there that have been in the NFL for a while and go to the CFL, and you just latch on to them and just learn what you can learn from them.
Now, you didn't live in Toronto, Montreal, or Vancouver. No. You lived in some of those other Canadian cities. Did you know about that city before you went up there?
I had no idea. When the guys came calling, I'm like, where? Saskatchewan?
What's it like? Is there an adjustment? Because you think it's just over the border. It shouldn't be that different, but is Canada really different from the United States?
It is. The only places you're going to kind of something comparable to the U.S. is when you go to Calgary or Vancouver, Toronto, you know, those the big cities, Edmonton, you know, is. But in Saskatchewan, it's just football there. They kind of equate it to Green Bay. You know, it's good, like just community. It's the stadium's right in the middle of the community. You know what right. I mean? They just built a brand new crazy stadium too. But it's the city shuts down. It's sold out. They could go 0-18 and it'll still be sold out. So they love the fans love them. So it's just it was a great experience.
Was that good for you, though, as a young guy, and you have a limited amount of distractions, so you have to focus on football? You honed your skills, and now you're in the NFL. If you would have been in a city where you had more distractions, I mean, because you see it, you've been around the NFL long enough where you see some of these young guys, they come and they are too distracted by big cities. Was that a good thing for you?
It might have been a good thing, but I consider myself as a responsible, you know,
right.
player. And then I was able to latch on to some guys that were vets there that let me know, hey, just don't do this, don't do this, and you'll be all right. Just hang with me, you know. I'm like, all right. So it was good. I had older guys take me under their wing because, you know, they saw the talent, knew I was going to make the team or whatever, and it was just like, this is the right way to do things, and this helped me be a professional. So it was, and that's why I still do that to this day. You know, if a young guy comes in, when I went to Indy, they treated me the same way. You got Robert Mathis and Reggie Wayne doing the same thing to me. I'm like, these guys, they're talking to me? Wait, what?
Is that hard, though? Because, well, I guess you were brought up that way as a football player, but right. I would think it's hard because you're giving away some of your secrets, and, you know, usually the young guys are here to take your job.
They're better than me. They're more proud to them.
But that's
how I feel.
but that's when team's important to you. Because, you know, if Jarrell Freeman goes out and helps a young guy be a better teammate, a better person for the Chicago Bears, that's what's going to, you know, that's what's going to win divisions and get you in the playoffs and those types of things.
Yeah, it just makes your team a lot better, knowing and understanding, okay, we just got this seventh rounder over here, but this seventh rounder might be the key to helping us with the team. He has one special skill, and he does that really well. So, you know, just – help the guy, bring him under your wing, explain to him how to do things and not to do things. And, you know, it just makes that family atmosphere that much more better, you know.
Well, fifth rounder last year in Jordan Howard.
So, yeah, there you go.
You know.
It's the crazy thing. I mean, Indianapolis, I knew nothing about him. You know what I mean? And then I see him running the peel up here. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Well, no one it took that final preseason game against Cleveland before, right. when he got his opportunity. And you're like, whoa, the Bears have something here.
It's the real deal, yeah.
You know, it's about taking advantage of the opportunity. Hey, experience the fun and excitement of Meyer Bears Family Fest tomorrow, Saturday, August 5th, as the Bears hold a team practice at Soldier Field. All tickets are just $8. Get yours right now at ChicagoBears.com. I'm sure after spending a couple of weeks down here that you guys are fired up to be back at Soldier Field tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure it won't be too much slipping and everything out here on the turf. But yeah, it's good to go home, get in front of the fans, people that haven't seen us. I mean, it's good to come out here and come out to a group of people that haven't and don't have the opportunity to come see us in the game. And then be able to go home and do the same thing, and it's a great experience.
Do you remember the first time you had a chance to go to an NFL stadium as a fan?
Ooh, the old Cowboy Stadium. Yeah, I do. Dad took me and my brothers to a Cowboys game, watching Emmitt Smith and Charles Haley, and you know,
you never forget it, right?
Yeah, you never forget that.
And it doesn't matter if it's a game. I mean, and we learned last year. I mean, last year, the Family Fest, I mean, you guys brought it. I mean, there was some...
You can say that.
I mean, remember, Kyle Long ran...
Well, it was the Ted Larson, Akeem Hicks show because all through training camp here in Kankakee, they were fighting after every play.
Yeah.
And then they kind of brought that to Soldier Field with him, and Kyle Long made the 60-yard sprint.
Yeah, from the north end zone to the south, and then he dove in the pile there. Yeah. Someone asked you right at the start of this year's training camp, you know, do you like the fact that John Fox is lightening up the load, so to speak, with the schedules where you don't go hard three consecutive days in a row? As if a veteran player in the National Football League, no, I want to work really hard during this time of the year.
I think it's what you do with that time and that and those plays that you have that really matter. I mean, I'm sure if we went out there and was just messing up every play and not being able to do our job, it wouldn't be like that. I'm sure the schedule would change. It's very fluid, trust me. So if there was a need to, he'd definitely change the schedule.
At this stage of your NFL career, what do you work on in a training camp to get better?
I mean, just everything. As a linebacker, you're part pass rusher, part DB, part, you know, you're just part of everything. So there's a lot of different things that you can work on. Feet are everything for a linebacker. So it's just having those steps, not taking any wasted steps, knowing angles, you know, working with guys up front, you know, it's just taking double teams. It's just so much stuff that you can work on. Yeah, it's just you can always get better, I feel.
When you're a young guy getting older, it seems like when you're taking the young approach, every year as an offensive lineman or a football player, you're always trying to get stronger in the weight room. Mm-hmm. Has your weight room approach changed as you get to be a more mature player because you understand what's required out of you to make it through 16 games in the NFL season? Mm-hmm. Has the whole style of lifting and weight training and off-season program changed for you?
I think it's changed for me because our strength and conditioning coach is like, hey, you're not a power lifter, so do this.
Right.
Okay? And we can incorporate some of your stuff, but I want you to be able to use your strength functionally. So it's just going out there. Yeah. Off season is a little different than when you kind of get in here, they kind of mold you into the type of player that they want to. But I still get it. I still get after it.
What do you do for that 5-week, 6-week opportunity that you're on your own?
Save lives.
Yeah.
Right. Of course. You wear a cape and a mask. You know,
just run around saving. Yeah, but I mean, you still work out. It was hot in Texas, but we're in that heat working. When you've been in the league for a while, you develop relationships. So, I mean, I'm able to work out with Derek Johnson and Arakpo and just a lot of the older UT guys that come back to Austin where I live and train. And I'm able to train and get better there and get in the weight room, get after it. So, yeah, it's a little everything.
Man, Ray Lewis was talking about how later on in his career, yoga was a big deal for him to help with the flexibility out there on the field when your body contorts in weird shapes.
Yeah.
We could go for another hour. We got to say goodbye. So we'll see you tomorrow at Soldier
Field.
That's
it?
Yeah.
Let's do another hour.
Well, maybe later on this year, Jarrell will join us for another action-packed hour of Bears All Access. For Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman, Jarrell Freeman, Greg Miller, our executive producer, and Paul Zarango. Let's blast through the speakers of your radio. Thanks for listening to another edition of Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.